Welcome to another deep dive. Today, you've given us a fascinating challenge. We're diving into the world of scientific research,
Okay.
but not just any research, right? We're going to explore the
Right.
dynamics between big science and small science. Buckle up, because this is where things get really interesting.
I love it.
You provided us with this great excerpt from an article called Big Science versus Small Science: Efficiency and Adaptability.
Yes.
So just to get us all on the same page,
Sure.
big science, we're talking large-scale collaborative research,
Sure.
like the Human Genome Project.
Okay.
It's a Large Hadron Collider, really big, expensive, long-term
Yeah,
project.
those massive undertakings, exactly.
And then on the other side, we've got small science, which is
Okay.
focused on very specific research questions,
Right.
often with more modest budgets and smaller research teams.
Yeah, more focused, more agile.
The article argues that this small science approach might actually be more efficient, adaptable, and lead to more serendipitous discoveries than its larger counterpart. So let's see if you agree. Now, the author of this article has experience with both big science and small science projects, which I think gives them a very interesting perspective.
Definitely. Having that firsthand experience on both sides is really valuable because you can see the strengths and weaknesses of each approach.
And they're not just coming at it from a theoretical perspective.
Yes.
They've actually been in the trenches, so to speak.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to acknowledge the achievements of big science. I mean, the scale of these projects allows us to tackle really complex challenges and gather these vast data sets. Think about CRISPR gene editing, for example. It's a groundbreaking technology, and that was born from large-scale research.
That's true.
Yeah.
Big science has given us some incredible breakthroughs. But the author also highlights some limitations to this approach, right? They point out that these massive projects can sometimes get bogged down
Yes.
by bureaucracy, become resistant to change, very slow to adapt to new findings or directions.
That's a really good point. It's true that in the fast-paced world of science, if a project takes decades to yield results, it risks missing crucial advancements happening concurrently in smaller, more nimble teams. The Large Hadron Collider, for example. That took 30 years to discover the Higgs boson. In those 30 years, there were smaller experiments making continuous progress.
It makes you wonder if that time and those resources could have been used to support a multitude of smaller projects, potentially leading to a greater variety of discoveries.
Yeah, absolutely. It raises questions about resource allocation and whether we overemphasize a few large projects at the expense of, a wider array of research.
And the author also points out that often these high-value grants end up going to established researchers and institutions, right? It makes you wonder how many brilliant young
Oh,
scientists
for sure.
with innovative ideas are
Yeah.
being overlooked.
Absolutely. And that stifles innovation, for sure. I mean, even the James Webb Space Telescope, as groundbreaking as it is, it experienced these delays, these cost overruns. Even the most ambitious projects can be hampered by their sheer size and complexity.
Yeah, so it sounds like big science, while impressive, might not always be the most efficient or adaptable path to discovery. But what about small science? The author refers to it as a matter of asking smart questions.
Yeah, I love that. Smart questions.
What do they mean by that?
It really captures the small science approach. It's about identifying specific, well-defined problems that can be addressed with available resources. Not try and solve everything at once, but rather making the most of limited budgets, maximizing efficiency.
So instead of aiming for this grand unified theory of everything, you're focusing on a piece of the puzzle that you can realistically investigate and hopefully answer with the resources that you have.
Precisely.
But can this targeted approach really lead to significant
Oh,
breakthroughs?
absolutely. I mean, look at the discovery of CRISPR-Cas9 as a gene editing tool. That came from a relatively small research team studying bacterial immune systems, not some massive genomic
So it
project.
was much more focused, much more targeted, and it ended up revolutionizing molecular biology.
Years before those larger initiatives could achieve similar results.
That's incredible.
And it highlights the power of, focusing on those very specific questions and really digging deep.
So a focused, targeted approach, sometimes driven by pure curiosity, can actually have a greater impact than a large-scale endeavor.
Absolutely.
Are there any other examples like
Oh,
that?
definitely. The discovery of Helicobacter pylori as the cause of ulcers, that also came from a small research team
Wow.
working with very limited resources,
Really?
and it completely changed how we understand and treat ulcers today.
It sounds like small science has a real knack for uncovering these game-changing discoveries. It's really fascinating. I'm starting to see the appeal of these smart questions. But what about those accidental discoveries? You know, those happy accidents, those serendipitous moments that sometimes really change the course of science. Does big science have the edge there?
Not necessarily. The author actually argues that small science might be more conducive to these serendipitous discoveries.
Really? I'm always up for a good serendipity story. Give me an example.
Think about Alexander Fleming's discovery of penicillin.
Okay.
He was conducting a small-scale investigation into bacterial cultures when he noticed that mold was inhibiting bacterial growth.
Right.
That accidental observation led to one of the most important medical discoveries of all time.
Wow, that's incredible. So a simple observation in a relatively small-scale experiment led to such a monumental breakthrough.
It really does highlight the power of careful observation and being open to these unexpected findings.
And then there's also the development of the polymerase chain reaction, or PCR, this revolutionary tool in molecular biology. That also stemmed from a small, curiosity-driven project. So it seems like these small, focused projects, often fueled by curiosity and a willingness to explore, can really lead to some incredible breakthroughs.
Absolutely.
They're efficient, adaptable, and open the door to those serendipitous discoveries.
It's a compelling case for small science.
But is the author suggesting we abandon big science altogether?
Not quite. In the conclusion, they acknowledge the need for both approaches.
Okay.
It's not an either-or situation,
Right.
but rather recognizing the strengths and limitations of each.
So it's about finding the right balance, supporting both large-scale initiatives that can tackle those grand challenges and smaller, more focused projects that promote efficiency, adaptability, and a spirit of curiosity.
Absolutely. The author calls for a balanced ecosystem that supports both.
Big science and small science. They emphasize the need for flexibility, diversity, and a research environment where curiosity-driven projects can flourish alongside those massive endeavors.
Makes a lot of sense. It's about creating a scientific landscape where different approaches can thrive, each contributing to the advancement of knowledge in its own way.
Precisely.
Now, while the author favors small science,
Yeah.
they also encourage readers to form their own opinions based on the evidence.
Absolutely. And that's what we're doing here today, right? We're exploring these arguments, considering the examples.
And I'm curious, so far, what stands out to you?
Well, you know, for me, I'm really drawn to that idea of smart questions and how this targeted approach can lead to such significant discoveries.
It seems like a powerful reminder
Yeah.
that scientific progress isn't just about big budgets and
Wow.
massive teams, but also about asking the right questions,
Absolutely.
being
Wow.
adaptable, and
Right.
staying curious. I agree. It makes you think about the potential that could be unlocked if we create more space for those smart questions
Right.
and the researchers who ask them.
We've been talking a lot about the different approaches to research, but I'm also curious, how do you think technology is playing into this dynamic between big and small science?
Oh, that's a great question. I think technology is a real game changer in this whole equation,
Okay.
and it's a key part of this evolving landscape of research. But you know what? Before we dive into that,
Yeah.
let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll explore how technology is shaping the future of scientific discovery, blurring the lines between big science and small science,
Sounds good.
and opening doors for a wider range of participants.
All right, we'll be right back after this short break. It's amazing to think that a small team with a really focused approach can sometimes make breakthroughs that these massive research projects miss. How does technology play into all of this?
Technology is a game changer for sure. It's not just about having bigger and better equipment. It's about these new tools and techniques that are really changing how research is done. You know, we're seeing a blurring of the lines between big science and small science thanks to these advancements.
So technology is leveling the playing field. It's giving these smaller teams with those smart questions access to, tools and resources that used to only be available to like huge institutions with lots of funding.
Yeah, precisely. Like, think about powerful AI algorithms now. They can analyze these huge data sets, something that would have been totally impossible for smaller teams just a few years ago.
So technology is not only speeding up discoveries, but it's also empowering more people to do cutting-edge science.
Absolutely. And it's changing how we think about collaboration, too. We're seeing this rise of citizen science.
Citizen science. You mean like those websites where people can classify galaxies or track bird migrations?
Exactly. Platforms like Zooniverse and SysStarter connect volunteers with research projects all over the world. So it's easier than ever for people to get involved with scientific discovery.
So you don't need a PhD or a lab coat to actually contribute to science. I love that. It makes research more accessible and engaging for everyone.
It does, and it's having a big impact. Citizen scientists are helping to analyze data, identify new species, even contribute to medical research. They're making a real difference.
It's like turning science into this community effort, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bringing together professional researchers and just passionate volunteers. Well, let's go back to technology for a sec. We were talking about AI.
Yeah.
Now it's giving smaller teams more analytical power. What other technological advancements are, like, really shaping the research world?
Gene editing is another area where technology is having a huge impact. With tools like CRISPR, researchers can manipulate genes with incredible precision.
CRISPR, that's the one that lets you edit DNA like cutting and pasting text, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like science fiction.
It does, but it's real. And it's opening up these incredible possibilities for treating genetic diseases and understanding how life works at its most basic level.
It's mind-blowing to think about what these technologies can do. But I also wonder, are there any concerns about how fast technology is advancing in research?
It's important to think about the potential implications of these powerful tools, and those conversations are definitely happening. But for now, let's stay focused on the positive and how these technologies are shaping the future of research.
Okay, so we have technology empowering smaller teams, fostering citizen science, and accelerating discovery. Sounds like research is becoming more diverse and dynamic than ever before.
It is, and it's exciting to see these different approaches converging. We're seeing the emergence of these hybrid models that combine elements of big science, small science, AD, citizen science.
So it's not one or the other. It's about using the strengths of each and finding ways to integrate them.
Exactly. Think about a big project that collects tons of data. Citizen scientists could help analyze it, while smaller teams could focus on specific questions that come up. And technology connects them all, making collaboration easier and speeding things up.
That's like a symphony, right? Each instrument playing its part to create this harmonious sound. And technology is like the conductor, making sure everything works together.
I love that analogy. It highlights how the research landscape is becoming more collaborative and interconnected.
This deep dive has been eye-opening. I have a whole new perspective on big science versus small science and how technology and citizen science are shaping research. It's an exciting time to be involved in science, whether you're a seasoned researcher or just a curious person exploring the world.
It really is. We've seen how big science can tackle these huge challenges and how small science, with its smart questions, can lead to really focused and efficient discoveries. And with technology breaking down barriers and connecting researchers and citizen scientists, the possibilities are endless.
It makes you wonder what amazing discoveries are just around the corner, waiting to be uncovered by this new generation of research. But as we wrap up our exploration of big science versus small science, there's one question I can't get out of my head. What does all of this mean for the rest of us, the non-scientists? How can we engage with these advancements, even if we don't have a lab coat or a PhD?
That's a great question to end on, and a perfect lead-in to the final part of our deep dive. When we come back, we'll explore how all of this relates to you, the listener, and how you can engage with the fascinating world of scientific discovery.
It's been an amazing journey, right? Exploring big science, small science, those smart questions, and the incredible impact of technology and citizen science. Research is definitely changing, becoming more collaborative and interconnected than ever before. But I'm still wondering, what does all of this mean for us, the non-scientists? How can we engage with these advancements, even if we don't have a lab coat or a PhD?
You know, that's such a great question, and one I think a lot of people have. It might feel like scientific discoveries happen in this world totally separate from our everyday lives, but that's not true at all. Science is all around us. It influences everything. The technology we use, decisions about our health and the environment. And the cool thing is, you don't need to be a professional scientist to engage with it.
So how can we participate in this world of discovery? Where do we even begin?
The first step is simple. Stay curious. Pay attention to the science stories that pop up in the news. Read books and articles on topics that interest you. And don't be afraid to ask questions. The more you learn, the more you realize how relevant science is to your own life.
You're right. Sometimes science can seem kind of intimidating, especially if you don't have a science background.
Yeah.
But it's really about nurturing that sense of wonder and asking those questions about the world, right?
Yeah.
Like, why is the sky blue? How do birds migrate thousands of miles without getting lost? Those simple questions can lead you down these fascinating paths of discovery.
Exactly. And there are so many resources out there to help you explore those questions. Museums, science centers, online platforms like Khan Academy, TED-Ed, they all offer amazing learning opportunities for people of all ages and backgrounds.
And what about citizen science? That seems like such a cool way to actually get involved in research projects.
It is. Citizen science platforms like Zooniverse, SysStarter, they allow you to contribute to real research right from your own home. You can help classify galaxies, track migrations, analyze cancer cells. The possibilities are endless.
It's incredible that anyone with a computer or a smartphone can contribute to cutting-edge research. It's really making science more accessible.
Absolutely. And it's a great way to learn by doing. You're not just passively taking in information. You're actively involved in the process of discovery.
Okay, so we can stay curious, explore museums and online platforms, even participate in citizen science projects. What are some other ways for non-scientists to engage with these advancements?
You can support scientific research. Even if you don't have the time to volunteer for a citizen science project, you can still make a difference. You can support organizations that fund scientific research or advocate for policies that promote science education and innovation.
That's a good point. Science funding is so important for progress. And advocating for science education ensures that future generations are ready to tackle the big challenges,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It seems like there are so many ways for us non-scientists to engage with the world of science. From staying curious and asking questions to actively participating in research and supporting scientific endeavors.
It is. Science isn't just for scientists. It's for everyone. And the more we engage with it, the more we realize its power to shape our world, solve problems, and inspire us with that sense of wonder and discovery.
This deep dive has been truly fascinating. We went from exploring the dynamics of big science and small science, uncovering the power of smart questions, the incredible potential of technology and citizen science. And we learned that engaging with science isn't just for those with fancy degrees, it's about cultivating curiosity, asking questions, and participating in the ongoing quest to understand the world around us.
It's been a pleasure sharing this exploration with you and our listeners. I hope it sparked a sense of excitement for science and a desire to explore even further.
I think it has. And remember, this conversation doesn't have to end here. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep that sense of wonder alive. Who knows what amazing discoveries await us in the future? Thanks for joining us, and until next time, keep diving deep.